The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies.
1, 2, 3.
Because I have a boner.
I don't know shit about fuck.
I like sucking.
Piss.
Legit fat podcast.
Where's your home?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Are you in Oregon?
Ben's here today. Yay. Oh, where's my... Yay for Ben being here. If it's your first time listening, I'm Joe. This is Jen. Ben's here today. Yay. And we have One Thumb L. She's a microbiologist, like certified expert in her field. So trust the science, trust the experts, because she is one. And before we get into it, though, mud water. Go get some mud water. The link's in the description, and it helps the show out. And we have a new t-shirt out, legitbat.com. Has the great artwork of Mr. Bags Draws on Instagram. It's a fucking cool little comic. We've mentioned it before, but always merch there. I had a couple new things, so check that out if you feel like sending us like $3 or whatever we make on that shit. But we will bring Ellie in now, and she's called One Thumb L because she has one thumb.
Hey guys.
Welcome,
hey.
Ellie. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So we'll just start out. Let us know your extended bio. I know you sent me some stuff earlier, but I'll let you put it into your own words and just tell us what you do, what your qualifications as an expert scientist.
A real scientist.
Yes. I have a bachelor's degree in cellular and molecular biology, and then I have a master's degree in infectious diseases and microbiology, and for my thesis, I worked with a respiratory disease that was considered a potential bioweapon, so I studied bioweapons in grad school and tried to develop a vaccine for them, then went and worked on Big Pharma, and worked with a startup developing in-home COVID tests. And then I left because I went into science to help people. And that type of science with the dollar sign doesn't actually help people. So I left because of it.
Did you make a lot of money doing that? Or do you have to be like high up to make money in the vaccine stuff?
I could make a stupid amount of money. It's kind of obscene.
Well, we've seen that the last couple of years. So
it made certain things easier. However, to me, it didn't matter how much money because I couldn't sacrifice my morality. So I realized that's maybe a small portion of the population. But yeah.
Well, especially a small portion of the population working in the medical and pharmaceutical industries, for sure.
Yeah, I know like travel nurses right now, they're making like 4 times the amount if they were more at a hospital, and they don't have to get vaxxed as a travel nurse. But if you actually work for the hospital, you get paid a significant amount less, and you have to get vaxxed. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
is it because traveling nurses are like 1099 or independent contractors or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Ben, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. when you added me on Instagram, it took me to your page, and so I found that like boomerang that you did. Maybe I don't know if that's the right fucking thing or not, but the one where you kept going like this on the camera for all the reasons why you left that industry.
Yeah.
It was awesome because I'm like, every point that got brought up on the screen, I'm like, yeah, 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 that's fair. And I'm like, fuck, I'd leave too. Like, I was thinking about that exact same thing today at work. Was Where's the line that you're not willing to bend or break your integrity and character for the truth. And you've seen it a lot throughout this COVID thing. we actually have one of our shows, Carlos Zapata, was on, and he leads the Red, White, and Blueprint Recall Shasta effort up here in Northern California. In one of his episodes, they featured a gentleman who he operates the bypass, the heart bypass machine in the hospital. And we only have two in this town, one at each hospital. And he basically said, like, if I don't come to work, people die. They go on deference, and the helicopters fly right over to us because nobody's there to do my job.
Right.
He was like, I got called in at 10 p.m., and I didn't want to work, but I came in because I was the only one that could do it. And this guy was in pretty bad shape, and we saved his life. He goes, if I don't go to work, people die. But if I go to work and get vaccinated, and I cross that line, more people are going to die for other reasons, and it's going to be my fault. Or at least that is, you know, the incentive. Everybody's got to make that, and it's fucking hard when you have put so much time and effort and money and studying to get either the degree or the job that you have, to walk away from it because you're like, this isn't right. I commend you fully for that. That's I think everybody could learn a lesson from that.
Thank you. Yeah, the amount of student loans I have is over $200,000. It's an obscene amount.
For sure.
However, so I was working as a lab manager at this company, and because it was a startup, I was able to see a lot of different things that maybe your typical lab manager wouldn't. So I'm doing purchase orders, I'm shipping stuff out, like all the things, biohazard waste pickup. And there were certain things that were happening, and I'd bring it to the attention of my manager, and the response would be, oh, we don't need to worry about that. The owner knows the governor. And I was like, but I'm pretty sure having a lab in someone's home basement isn't legal. But don't worry. It's okay.
That's typically reserved for cooking meth and stuff.
So, like,
and the Third Reich.
It was insane. Like, people would be having a Zoom meeting from their basement, and they just had lab equipment, like full-on labs in their basement or their garages.
Wow.
That's so typical right now, just to say, oh, I know someone higher up. If you're higher up, if you're some elite, yeah, it's totally fine, whatever, no big deal. Well, it's so gross.
It always is who you know, not what you know. It's, yeah, oh, we know this. Sure. Yeah.
Right.
That's how the world works, unfortunately.
I would actually sought out the help of 5 different lawyers and was basically told they broke so many different laws in so many different, forms of law, I guess. Because there's, like, you know, personal injury law, and then there's real estate law, and then there's, you know, environmental law and all this other stuff. So because it was so many different categories, one lawyer couldn't handle it because they weren't specialized in all those areas. So they're just like, no, we can't help you.
You'd have to hire, like, all 5 of those lawyers, or just 5 different lawyers to go against each law that was broken because it was in different fields. That's crazy.
But it's not like I was going to get any money for it. And so then I would have had to pay out of my own pocket to go against them and then not get anything in return. It was insane.
Well, it's hard too. Just like Craig Sawyer, shout out to the Sawman, was talking about in his line of work when it came to going against the grain of either what they're pushing socially or otherwise. It's fucking hard to get people in the legal field to not bend their character to do what's right and pursue stuff that needs to be pursued, because whether it be the DAs are in a pocket are in somebody's pocket, or the attorneys or the judge, it's like you can try to run it up the flagpole in due process the correct way and get nowhere because they aren't willing to go against it.
Yep, because the lawyer's friends with, you know, the judge, and they don't want to hurt their reputation in the city, and they want to keep working, so it's fine. You'll be fine.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we all know, especially in this community, that the whole system is fucked, and especially the legal and the medical and basically everything that runs day-to-day life. So before we get into what you do now, give us more examples of, like, the corruption that you saw, or like what made you like wake up to what was actually going
on? I want to talk about too the PCR testing, because I know you know a lot about that, and I want you to tell everyone why it's completely bullshit.
Okay, so I'll answer Joe's question and then I'll go on the PCR test.
Yep. Okay.
So one of the things that really was, I guess, pushed me over the edge, the straw that broke the camel's back. The company I was working for, the startup, was trying to develop an in-home COVID test. And when you mix certain chemicals, you need to have them in a well-ventilated hood area with a special fan and all this stuff. And have you guys ever mixed like vinegar and baking soda for like the volcano?
Yeah.
In it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I do that every Saturday. It's fun.
So when you mix certain chemicals, that's called an exothermic reaction. And when you mix certain chemicals, that can happen. And it can be a lot more serious than just vinegar and baking soda overflowing on your counter. So my company was shipping chemicals to a third-party vendor in another state via FedEx without the proper documentation, without the chemicals being labeled. Those chemicals that arrived at the third-party location, where apparently there wasn't given clear enough instructions on how to mix these chemicals, the chemicals were mixed. They overflowed in the lab. They got on a person. They got on a bench. Because the third party didn't know what these chemicals were, they didn't know how to properly clean it up. When they reached out to our company to say, hey, you know, what are these chemicals? How do we clean it up? The first response back was, ha ha ha, looks like you're having fun playing with chemicals. And I have the email to prove it. So,
who was this email from? One of the other companies?
The third party vendor?
The third party vendor emailed my company and was like, hey, what do we do? This happened. And my company was like, oh, looks like you're having fun playing with chemicals. Not like, hey, there's a chemical spill. Wow. This needs to be addressed. This is how you take care of it. Just, hey, looks like you're having some fun over there. Cool.
Wow.
Oh,
and
God.
They're trying to develop an in-home COVID test. This company that you're working for.
I was working for, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Wow.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep. And, you know, it is a federal offense to ship chemicals across state lines without being properly labeled. Just saying.
You don't have to say the name of the company, but is this company still around?
Yes.
Is it a big name company?
No, it's a startup.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, does it start with Pfizer?
No, I've never worked for Pfizer.
Ah, you should have. That would have been cool. I mean, just to get like the inside scoop, but it sounds like you have enough of an inside scoop on these. I mean, they're startups, granted, but still, they're working in this industry. They should be professional.
So I worked for Big Pharma before. So if you looked at my LinkedIn, you can figure out that I worked for Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. I just never updated the startup. And I've never named the startup, and I won't, because if they know the governor, I don't. So you can't find where I used to work when I quit. But I did work for Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, the company that makes the monoclonal antibodies.
Oh, the ones that were just Biden just banned or was trying to ban or whatever?
Yep.
Great. So how did we get into the PCR part?
No, yeah, I haven't touched on that yet.
Yeah, dig into that, because a lot of people are still fucking ignorant on how ridiculous the PCR test is. They don't even know that the guy that invented them said this is not meant to like test for a virus. And yet that's the one thing we've been using to test for 2 fucking years now. And that's what we're basing this whole pandemic on, is a PCR test. Talk about it. Thank you.
Okay. So first of all,
thank you.
It was only ever EUA approved, emergency use authorization, which means there wasn't all the studies done. The ethylene oxide that was on the swabs, you know, that you're not supposed to put in your mucous membrane. Your mucous membranes are your nose, your eyes, your mouth, things like that. So not supposed to do that. And it was FDA revoked the EUA. I want to say June of 2020. However, they said the PCR tests were allowed to stay on the market until December 31st, 2020. I think it's because all these schools had purchased all of these kits to test these kids. And if the FDA had revoked that sooner, all these tests would have gone to waste. And, you know, it's all about the money, right? So that's my first problem with it. Secondly, they don't work. So the way that the PCR tests were designed is they isolated a virus from a patient, but they said we couldn't get the full sample, so they plugged it into a computer and extrapolated what they thought the sequence was. Which means, how do you know that that's actually the sequence? You don't. So PCR, the way I describe it is, if you go into a library and you look at all the books and you try and find a sentence like, the black cat ran fast, you could probably find it in many books. If you tried to look for a sentence like, the small black cat ran quickly across the yard, across the fence, jumped over, in a much longer sentence, it's probably only going to be in one book. So those sentences are called primers. You would want a very specific sentence to figure out the virus. If you have a very short, generic sentence, it's going to be in more books or more viruses. They have very generic primers, and because they extrapolated the whole sequence and then made the primers based on that, you can't verify that it's actually COVID-19. And the more you PCR is done by replication cycles. So you want to create multiple copies of the DNA. That's that cycle threshold that they were talking about for a while. And they're like, oh, if you run it too many times, it's going to be inaccurate. You kept hearing that sometimes. So think of that as if you go through the library once, you're probably not going to find many sentences. But if you go through the library 200 times and read every book, you're eventually going to find what you're looking for because you're bound and determined to find it. So maybe don't, like, so that if the cycle threshold is too high, you're going to, it's a confirmation bias, basically.
You're going to find whatever you're looking for, right?
Right.
I heard it described as kind of like zooming in on something and looking for a particular pixel. And if you zoom in far enough, you'll eventually find that one, especially since what they're testing for, the PCR, is it's a genetic marker, from what I understand. So you're looking for, like, it could be leftover virus particles from who knows what. And if you zoom in far enough, it looks like, oh, this is COVID-19, even though they still haven't isolated what they call COVID-19. So how do they know that that's what COVID-19 is? So.
Well, it doesn't distinguish between live or current replicating infection and past infection. That's why people who have been sick, they're like, first it was like, oh, you can test up to 2 weeks, positive 2 weeks after. That's something, now it's like up to 20 weeks or something after. Clearly, this thing doesn't work. It was rushed. It doesn't make any sense. And even when you use it in research in a lab properly, you have to have so many controls. You actually have to have a lab bench space that's basically completely sterile and doesn't have any other DNA around it, because you understand that PCR reaction can be easily contaminated. I don't understand, because I understand how they actually do it in the lab, how they're running all of these tests and none of them are getting contaminated.
I mean, they are.
They are. 100% they are. But no one talks about that.
I mean, all these people that are running these tests were, I would imagine, have some qualifications to be doing what they're doing and know what you know as well. So why are they not noticing any of this? Why are they just like, is it just for just the money? Or are they just doing what they're told? Or are they just fucking robots doing their job? And they're like, yes, must stick this up your nose and then look for this.
So I think a lot of them are just doing what they're told. And if you don't, it was ironic to me. If I was taught in science to research, I never actually did research in grad school while I worked for Big Pharma because I was indoctrinated. And so I just believed what I was told as opposed to actually questioning and researching the things that I was taught.
That is the point of education, the education system we have. Yeah,
100%. It's indoctrination, not education. So I never actually questioned anything. So they're not going to either. You're told the PCR tests work. You're told masks work, even though, especially the people who, like me, who worked with the potential bioweapons, you know that certain masks only actually work and only work for a certain period of time. And you can only actually wear them for a certain period of time under OSHA before you have to go get fresh air or you're at risk of passing out. So,
or at least hypoxia.
Right. So it's like all of these things that you were taught, when they flipped, they just, okay, yep, we're just going to go along with it because that's what we were always told. Science isn't questioned anymore. It's just you follow whatever you're told.
Well, that's the mantra, trust the science. They've put that into everything on purpose so that we don't question anything and we just trust it blindly. But there's a lot of people in that industry who do just trust the science. Did you have any like backlash from colleagues when you left the industry or for voicing your opinion on certain things? Did you have anyone who stood by your side? Like, how was that for you?
So when I left, I had given notice that I was going to quit. I gave my 2 weeks notice. They basically said, no, you're fired. Not exactly like that, but they cut off all my computer access when I was supposed to have another few days. So I was fired. Let's be real here. I had some people that had lunch with me a couple days later, but I felt like it was more of, well, why did you really leave? Like, they're trying to like get this dirt. And I was like, it wasn't for my general well-being. It was like this curiosity, trying to figure out what I knew. And I was like, I'm not that stupid. So I didn't tell them anything. I mean, I wouldn't give the dirty details. Nobody talked to me.
She's sitting down to lunch as Neo with Agent Smith around her, and they're just like, what are you doing, Mr. Anderson?
That's sure if they knew about this podcast, there would be backlash.
Don't tell.
But they don't.
Or
oh, no,
attempted
they don't even
backlash.
Know.
Well, you're not really doxing them or anything. You're not giving away who it is. You're just stating your experiences in a general way, which I think is allowed.
Which now is considered misinformation. But yeah. Continue
it's
with
considered
your
misinformation. And isn't the like Department of Homeland Security like you can be considered a terrorist now, like domestic terrorist, if you like go against the COVID narrative? So are we all on some list now?
I hope so.
I don't know. That's all just a setup, though. They set everything up. I mean, we all know this. Like, they set it all up, and then they lay it out later. Like, oh, but don't you remember when we said they're all terrorists? And they kept talking. What? Like, since when is it not allowed? I don't know. It's fucking stupid.
Agreed.
So, didn't you have a story, though, where you went against? I heard Ellie on Deplorable Nation on Janet's awesome podcast. Shout out to Janet.
Everyone check out Deplorable Janet.
but yeah. It was an awesome episode. So I really, really wanted to have you on. But you told a story about how you had to go to the hospital for something and you got them to just like not give you a COVID test. It was badass. I want to hear that story.
Okay. So Christmas of 20, beginning of December 2021. I don't know, the year's all meshed together. It's 2022. So 2020, yeah. Okay. So I was having like really bad pelvic pain. And I was just like, oh, like maybe I'm just having like a really bad period. I was like, I'm just going to go to bed. Like I started and I was like, I'm just going to go lay down. Went to bed and I have a pretty high pain tolerance. I've had over 18 surgeries, like hit by a car, like all the things. So I'm like, I have a pretty high pain tolerance. So I wake up at like 2 a.m. on Saturday and I yell to my now fiance and I was like, we need to go to the hospital right now. Right now. And he's like, okay, we're going to the hospital. Go to the hospital, and I don't like pain medication. I don't like the way it makes me feel. And I know that I can get kind of loopy on it. And this was in the middle of the COVID pandemic, and I was like, I don't trust anybody. Like, I'm not taking that shit. So I go into the hospital, and they're like, oh, you're in pain? Here, want some pain medication? No, I want you to figure out why I'm in pain. So they do a CT, and it's a smaller hospital. So they do the CT. When they had pressed on my abdomen, it increased the pain so much that finally I was like, fuck it, give me the pain meds. Mike knew what to do. I like had written everything out, what I was okay with, what I was not okay with. The doctor comes in from the CT. I think you're just really constipated. You'll be fine. And I'm like, so now I'm high on pain meds, exhausted, because it's like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I look at Mike and I was like, this is, no, like he's wrong. The doctor comes back in 3 minutes later and goes, just kidding. You have a giant cyst on your ovary and you're bleeding internally. We need to take you via ambulance to a bigger hospital right now. Talk about whiplash. I went from constipation to your bleeding internally.
You have a big poo to you might die. Like,
right?
Thanks, medical industry.
So what a great time to be high. What a buzzkill. Thanks, doc.
I was like, what is happening right now? So they send me to a bigger hospital via ambulance. I get this OB resident and was like, take some Motrin, you'll be fine, and literally discharges me.
Here's the Snickers.
Yeah, like, I'm overreacting, right? Typical woman. So, Saturday, I end up calling my gynecologist, and I'm like, I explain what happened, and they're like, okay, we're going to see you on Monday. I go in, they do the test. Yep, you still have a giant cyst on your ovary. Yep, you're still bleeding internally. You need to go to Yale Hospital because I'm in Connecticut. They're the best. You need to go there right now. We're going to call and let them know you're coming. Okay. I go home. I pack a bag. I'm expecting surgery. Tell Mike. He comes with me. Well, in the middle of the COVID pandemic, you're not allowed visitors. Well, you can only put an IV in my right arm and my elbow. But when you do that, I can't bend it, which means I can't feed myself. I can't dress myself. I can't get a drink of water. Because my left arm, like, I have a hard time touching my face and all the things. So I need someone to help me once I have an IV in my arm. And I get to the hospital, and they're like, he can't come back. I said, yes, he can. And they had only taken my temperature and done my blood pressure. Well, no, he can't. I said, yes, he can, and he's going to. No. I said, okay, well, I'm just going to leave the hospital then and drive to Florida or something or a different state where I can be seen and treated. Well, you can't do that. You can't leave this hospital. I said, yes, I absolutely can.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I was like, you haven't even done anything yet. My name's not even in the database.
Well, even if it was.
I didn't have like a wristband on yet. And so, like, well, let's get patient advocacy down here. And I was like, let's get patient advocacy down here. They come down. Oh, well, he can stay, but he has to stay by your side the entire time. He's not allowed to leave even to go get food. I'm like, okay.
We'll see about that, bitch.
Okay.
Well, okay. So we go back, see another resident. They do all the tests. Yep, you're still bleeding internally. Yes, you still have a cyst on your ovary. Yes, you need surgery. Okay. You need to have a COVID test before that. No, I don't. Excuse me? I'm not having a COVID test. And the resident's like, I'm going to go get my supervisor. Okay. You'll get your supervisor.
Go for it.
So the head of OBGYN or whatever comes down and, so I hear you're declining a COVID test. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm not sick. I'm bleeding internally. I don't have COVID. Well, you know, you really need to do it. I was like, no, I don't. And I was like, so can I ask you a couple questions then since you're insisting? She goes, sure. I go, okay. I said, who makes the test? What? Who's manufacturing the PCR test? I don't know. What primers are you using? Well, I don't know. what's your cycle threshold? Well, I don't know. Then why am I doing this? I'm going to go get the head of the emergency room. He specializes in infectious diseases. Okay, you go get him. I'm still in a pain, and I declined pain medication this time. He comes over. You need to have a COVID test. No, I don't. Well, why won't you take one? Because they don't work. Well, how do you know that? Because I'm a scientist.
Because I worked with this shit.
Right.
Damn it.
Oh. Well, and they're very, well, okay, well, we can't really force you to take a COVID test. I was like, uh-huh.
I know.
Then if you refuse, we're going to have to put you in a COVID-positive OR and treat you like you're COVID-positive, and we're going to have to do extra PPE and gown up to protect ourselves. I said, no, you're not. He said, what? I said, you want to go operate on my ovaries, and you want to wear extra PPE because you think I have COVID when I'm bleeding internally. No. I want AMA, against medical advice. You can't do AMA. I said, I can absolutely sign myself out. Go get me the paperwork. Well, no, that's not necessary. I said, you can either go get me the paperwork, or my fiancé is going to take my IV out, and we're going to walk out and not sign anything. Well, this is very dangerous, and they're getting all flustered and mad, and I'm like...
They're not used to that shit.
Oh, no, they hate me. Doctors hate me.
Good.
They hate when someone knows their patient rights. They hate when someone can know the science. And they get so pissed off. So pissed off.
That's because they have egos the size of a house.
It's also probably because they don't know that information either. Or like maybe they kind of know it, but like no one ever uses it. And you probably drop some things that they're like, oh shit, like she's a scientist. Like you said the magic word, like, oh, I'm a scientist. Like I actually know more than you about this. And they're like, well, shit, I guess I'll admit that I don't know how this
works. Well, shit.
I just said I don't know to you like five times to every one of your questions. So they probably felt a little humbled.
Great. Good job there.
Yeah. And like I even asked like those, you know, who makes the tests and stuff to the head doctor. And he couldn't answer me. And I was like, this is stupid. No. I did end up having to go back on Christmas Day to get surgery because stubborn, not stupid. I was in too much pain and I did end up submitting to the COVID test. But here's the part that pisses me off the most. So because it's on my ovaries, they want to put me on the maternity floor. They literally did the COVID test and within 30 minutes of not having the results, I am up on the maternity wing. And they weren't making me wear a mask. So if they were that worried about COVID, why in the hell would they put me on the maternity ward with pregnant mothers and newborns? They didn't have the results yet.
Trust the science.
Fucking stupid. It just doesn't make sense. Everyone just does what they're told. It's so sad. And as soon as we free think for one second, we're just shut down and told we're terrorists and told, why? I can't believe it. We just are met with adversity like every single time.
Which makes me think Craziness. We're on the right side of history here. And it'll probably take a couple years to find out for sure, but I'm pretty confident.
I'm pretty confident too.
So you ended up having to take a COVID test?
I did because I was in so much pain and my body wasn't absorbing the blood. I knew I needed to have the cyst out. It was about the size of a golf ball. It was about that big.
That's big.
Yeah. So there was I had enough blood in my stomach and it was very distended and I needed surgery. So
it was just at the point where you're like, fine, I'll take your dumb fucking test or I'll die. And I guess I'll maybe live, like whatever.
Yeah. Stubborn, not stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. So when did you leave the pharmaceutical industry? What year?
My mom's birthday, April 7th, 2021.
Oh, okay.
I waited a few days to tell her because I didn't want to ruin her birthday.
Nice. Well, congratulations. So what did you start doing after you left?
I started doing this before I left. So at the end of 2019, I met my now fiance and he was helping me through this horrible divorce. And at this point, I was a Sunday school teacher. I believed in science. I thought vaccines were good. Three-letter agencies could do no wrong. And energy healing crystals and whatever were a bunch of woo-woo bullshit. None of that applies today.
Nice.
So he's like, I want you to go for a Reiki. And I'm like, what's a Reiki? He's like, I want you to go for Reiki. He's like, I was like, no, it's like, that's not going to work. It's like, it's woo-woo. He's like, I'm going to pay for it. He's like, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to lay on a table and chill for a half hour to an hour. He's like, there's literally no downside. I was like, fine, whatever, I'll go. I went. It totally blew my mind. And she also happened to do like tarot readings at the end. And so for like 3 weeks, I wouldn't talk to him about it. And I was, because I was just so flabbergasted at, because I could like feel the energy moving in my body and all this different stuff. And totally changed my mind. Then my best friend was getting married. And he took me into a metaphysical shop that sold crystals and stuff. And I'd never been in one. And mind you, he has, and now, because we live together now, but he had a magic meditation room in his house. And I thought he was a little nuts for having it, but whatever, you know. And so he takes me to this metaphysical shop. I'd never been in one. And I ended up carrying around this Labradorite heart that was like this big by this big. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then we're getting ready to leave, and I'm like, I have this feeling that, like, I have to find something there, and I, like, almost break down in tears and want to throw a temper tantrum like a two-year-old, and I'm like, what is this feeling? What is happening to me right now? This is completely illogical. This is not science, like, and the lady at the store was so nice. I ended up finding this rose quartz pendulum, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, and apparently when I'm drawn to crystals, I make them super hot. And so that's blowing my mind because you weren't taught that in science class either. And I'm like, this is blowing my mind. And I'm like, what is happening right now? This is going against everything I thought I knew. Ended up becoming a Reiki master. And I now sell essential oil rollers with crystals in them, and I'll infuse them with Reiki. And so I have blends that, like, I know the recipe for it, but then if someone wants something custom, I can do that too. And I also sell essential oils from doTERRA and just a lot of different things now. Just all I want to do is help people. That's why I went into science in the first place. So I'm using my degrees to understand really how the body works internally and taking that knowledge and using it when I do Reiki, or how essential oils work in the body, and not how I ever thought I was going to use my degrees, but I'm so thankful that I have them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you think that Reiki treatment you did was like a come to Jesus moment, or was that what kind of like set you off? Because you're like, whoa, there is something to this. Because I think a lot of people that get into this kind of stuff, there's a specific time that they can think of that was like, this was when I was like, oh, this isn't that crazy, actually. It's pretty fucking, it works. There's a lot of things that work, and it's a lot cheaper and nicer and easier than going to the fucking doctor, because nobody likes doing that.
No. Yeah, Reiki, my first Reiki treatment would definitely open my mind up to Reiki, and then finding out that I can make crystals hot, if they're meant for me, that also blew my mind. So those two events are what really changed for me. They happened about a month apart.
That's interesting you say that. The one I wear all the time gets hot when I touch it too. That's fucking weird.
Yeah. I think it's important to have that contrast too. The fact that you weren't looking for it, you weren't seeking it out, you weren't trying to make that happen. And in fact, you were a little opposed to it, it sounds like, where you were like, whatever, this is woo bullshit. And it came to you anyway, regardless, and was like, nope, I'm here. This is how it is.
That's, oh, and it was definitely, yeah, it was definitely an anvil being dropped on my head. There was no denying it. There was no getting around it. There was no brushing it off. It was, I'm here. This is now your life, and you're going to listen to me because you were on the wrong path, and I'm going to push you onto the right path. So
it's awesome. It didn't even take drugs or anything. Usually it's like ayahuasca or some crazy experience, but it was just a natural thing that happened. Hey.
It's funny because a lot of people that, I mean, even in this community, there's a lot of people that think it's crazy shit, the crystals and essential oils, and that's fine. And this is all they hear when we talk about it. And that's fine. But hey, give it a try. Go do something, whatever works for you. It doesn't have to be crystals or essential oils or Reiki or whatever. Go find something. Go walk around
crystals
the woods with your...
Crystals are pretty and not expensive, too.
Yeah, no, they're great. But go walk around the woods. Go walk around in the woods naked or something. Go, whatever works for you, works for you. It's not going to be the same.
Good enough.
Some people like to go to the Catholic Church and sit in there and pray in front of a statue of a maimed fucking Jesus on the cross. If that works for you, go ahead. But some of us prefer to just not do that.
25 years. That. Went to Catholic school, catechism, all the things. So, yeah.
Oh, so you had a basis for spirituality, at least, but not one of the most respected, well, at least for me, the Catholic thing, but that's a different show. We can talk about religion a different time.
Okay, so tell us about, so your background, you said you had a ton of surgeries and you were hit by cars a bunch, so yeah. Is that what got you started in the medical field? Just wanting to help people from experiencing that?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, give your whole background story with the thumb and everything, because... People need to know that, too.
Yeah, and I know you have a YouTube channel, too, so.
Okay. So, we got to go way back. So, I was born with 5 holes in my heart, tetralogy of Fallot, and a tight mitral valve. I had open heart surgery at 7 months old, and that surgery was actually 30 years ago on the 7th, February 7th.
Wow.
So, I'm part of the Zipper Club, so when you get your chest cut open, your sternum cracked and all that stuff, you're part of the Zipper Club because it's like you have a scar going up your chest. And then also when I was born, let's see if I can do this on camera. So I don't have a left thumb. When I was born, this side of my hand, this is my wrist and this is my index finger, was rotated all the way in and it touched my forearm right here. You have, typically people have 2 bones in their forearm. You have your radius, which attaches to your thumb, and your ulna, which is on the side of your pinky. I don't have a radius. It's squishy. I just have my ulna. And so as a baby, because babies' bones are more malleable than adults, they with splints, they moved it so my hand looked like this, more like an L. And when I was about 10, my aunt saw this thing. I think it was on Dateline. About this doctor in Maryland who was doing these surgeries for kids like me. And this is called a radial clubbed hand. And so I lived in Michigan. I grew up in Michigan. And this doctor happened to be in Maryland. So every 3 to 4 weeks for 4 years, my mom and I would travel to Maryland from Michigan to see this doctor. And it was these 2 metal halos that went around. And then all of these scars were from the pins that were, so they were drilled into my bone. And then my arm was surgically broken. And with a wrench, we had to turn nuts a few times a day, a certain amount, that would slowly separate that broken bone and stretch the muscles, nerves, skins, and tendons along with it. So the first, probably should have given you a graphic warning on that. I apologize.
I'm just fucking with you.
No, you're good.
Like, oh, it's fine. We just turned these nuts with a wrench into my arm.
Yeah.
And how old?
Yeah, you know, we're just.
It's so normal to me that, like, I forget that other people are like, you did what? And I was 10
when
I started.
Yeah, people are in there with a fucking wrench and a goddamn, like, screwdriver to work on your shit. Like, I could watch open heart surgery all day, but the second I see the cover of Saw with, like, chewed up fingernails, anything that has to do with hands and feet, my balls go straight to my taint, and I don't want to see any of it. Which is really weird since fucking you're constantly gnarly. Chewing on your fucking fingers.
Yeah.
Why do you... It's a finger in your... Yeah. Sorry.
I chew hands, I believe. Fuck Jared.
You're chewing your hands, yeah.
Shit.
Anyway, I had to go pee real quick. Where are you at in your story? Continue.
She was talking about the nuts that they
the nuts
she's
and the
explaining
bolts and the metal
gross stuff.
And,
yeah.
Okay.
So the first round of surgeries took my hand from being curved to being straight. The second round of metal halos gave me about an inch and a half in length in my forearm. My forearm used to be shorter. But when I woke up after they put the second frame on, I just remember They must have touched my hand, and I was looking on my right. And so my hand's up here hanging to try and prevent blood from pooling. And the doctor just said, can you feel that? And I'm groggy from anesthesia, and I just said, feel what? And I remember the look on my mom's face was, oh, shit. I ended up having compartment syndrome, so they cut me from my wrist all the way up to here. And then they lost the nerve somewhere up in there, so I have limited feeling.
At least you can move it. Like, that would suck. It was just like a limp dick, you know?
Yeah, no, I can move it. I don't have full range of motion because I don't have a complete wrist, I don't have a complete elbow, and I have an incomplete shoulder and clavicle.
So what's your, because Jen mentioned you have a YouTube video where you video yourself doing things with one hand or with both or whatever. Can you play guitar? Or what's the extent of, like, the things you can do?
So, I don't think I have a video on there of me playing guitar, but I was taught how to play guitar by a guy named Tony Memel. He is a one-handed guitar player. He's an amputee. So I actually will strap the guitar to the top of my legs. So it's like laying flat across me. But on there I have like how to tie my shoes, how I braid my hair, how I ride a bike. They seem like really mundane things. However, a lot of people are really fascinated by them. So I figured, why not? Also, I didn't meet someone who looked like me until I was 21. So there's kids now that are like, you know, they don't know that there's adults out there and they don't know how to do these things. And so, like, my parents couldn't teach me how to tie my shoes. I had to teach myself. So now these parents can go on there and show their kid, okay, so this is how she ties her shoes. Can you get an idea and maybe learn? Because they can't show their kids. They don't know how.
So you have tutorials. They're basically tutorials.
That's super helpful, though, for people who, I don't know if I would be able to teach my child as well, because I learned a different way, and we teach the way we learn. And we can kind of leave it open when we're teaching to be like, you can do it yourself, but here's the general idea. But you can't really say that to someone who, you know, has a different situation going on, you know?
Yeah, I always, when my cousins were younger, and they'd be like, well, what is it like? And I would just take a piece of scotch tape and I would wrap it around their hand so their thumb was like this. And they'd be like, okay, go do stuff. And they'd last about 5 minutes before they're like, this sucks. Rip it off. As a kid, did I ever want, you know, to have two thumbs and, you know, to be like everyone else? Absolutely. Now I wouldn't know what to do with a thumb and or two thumbs, and I think I would look super weird. So no, I don't want two thumbs.
Hey.
Although, caveat, I was trying to get a prosthetic arm, and they were going to have like this little, window that like I could flip my hand out. So I could feel and touch. So then I was going to have 14 fingers and I would have been totally okay with that. But insurance wouldn't cover it because insurance sucks. So. Oh,
that would have been fucking awesome. You could play two guitars at once.
I still want to try and get that prosthetic arm. But if I would have paid for it out of pocket, it would have been over $100,000. So.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
Wouldn't it be weird though? You'd have to relearn how to do everything that you taught yourself how to do with a thumb. Like, I don't know if it would be that easy. You know what I mean? You'd be like, oh, what the fuck do I do with this?
Oh, it would be a pain in the ass. But because I use my right hand for everything, I have this thing called overuse syndrome. And so I've already had one surgery where they had to relocate a nerve. Let's see, right here. So the hospital or the insurance company has literally said, no, we'd rather pay for you to have more surgeries on your right arm than just to give you a prosthetic arm so you don't overuse your right arm.
Insurance companies are the worst.
Yeah, and they're hand in hand with the medical industry. So that was another thing I thought about was a lot of what you said today would be viewed as anti-science or anti-medicine, which is fucking funny since you're a literal scientist.
Yeah.
But that's where it comes back to, like, plebs like us that have no scientific background or anything, but we're saying the same things you're saying, and we're labeled misinformation or anti-science or blah, 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 blah. So it's funny that you basically owe your life to science and medicine 100%. Because of all the surgeries and all that stuff you've had. So for people to just, you know, blanket everything you say against it as you're anti-science or anti-medicine is ridiculous. And this is the thing I'm trying to, like, draw some lines with people whenever they say, you're anti-vax, you're anti-science. I'm like, no. I love technology. It's great. How do you think I'm fucking talking to you right now? I have this awesome microphone and my phone and, you know, my two monitors and all this shit. That's all science, technology, and I love it. I'm not anti that at all. And I've gone to the doctor before and they fixed my shit. So the difference is what we're dealing with now is something totally different. And if you're, like you were saying, the other scientists at the place you worked at, they're just like, no, this is what the science says. This is what we're told to do. So we have to do this. So if they were to be able to step back from that and actually look at what the fuck was going on and not what they've just been told, it would be a lot easier to see all this stuff going on. Anyway, that's end rant. Thank you.
No. Like, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. And here's the thing. Western medicine is great. I would, like, essential oils and shit aren't going to cure, like, five holes in my heart, tetralogy of flow, and tight mitral valve. Essential oils aren't going to fix that. That needed open heart surgery. Like, I'm not against Western medicine. You know, when I was hit by the car, absolutely needed Western medicine. But you don't need to run to the doctor every time you have a scratchy throat.
Right.
And that's my thing. So, and if it takes, if someone is more likely to believe me because I have these 2 degrees than someone who doesn't have the 2 degrees, fine. I will use my 2 degrees to try and convince people. But, like, I feel like I shouldn't have to because you're just as capable of research as I am. And so right. It annoys me, but whatever.
No, and that's the problem is that you do have to kind of pull that degree card, even though I know it probably irks you like shit. But I would do that too. Like, I actually thought about using a degree as just a playing card. Like, I don't care about whatever they teach me in the degree. I just want to say I have a PhD in this, so listen to me. I already know what I know, and I think what I think. So it would just be like that added ace in the hole, you know, where I'm
that's
just like,
what she did at the hospital.
By the way,
too,
I'm a
saying,
PhD.
I'm a scientist. And they're like, oh, shit, that trumps our knowledge because we don't study.
Oh, shit.
But instead of listening to logic and like laying out your argument and being like, this makes sense, right? They're like, yeah, but you don't have a degree, so fuck off.
Fuck off.
We can say whatever we want. Apparently, we can identify as a giraffe and be in love with grass. Or
and
whatever.
Men can
so
get
who
pregnant.
Cares? We can just say we have a degree. It doesn't matter.
That's why I want to get a degree so I can say, no, men can't get pregnant. If a man gets pregnant, that was a woman who wanted to be a man. It doesn't mean it's a man. Anyway, that's a different argument as well.
If men want to get pregnant and have a baby through their penis, though, it has to be through the penis.
Yes. Oh. Otherwise, it's not a man having
that
a baby.
That one came out of my penis.
Right. Then it's a woman. If you change your penis into a vagina, you're not a man having a baby. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, I don't have that one queued up. Sorry. I had that sound effect, but I don't have it in there now.
Which one?
That one came out of my penis.
Oh.
That would have been perfect for this talk, too. Why do I suck?
Okay. Well, whatever. Yeah,
that's
fine.
Anyway, so what else do you do at your company, your new company that you started that is so anti-science and anti-medicine?
I'm still trying to figure that out, to be honest with you. A lot of people just come to me and they go, hey, I have trouble sleeping, or hey, my stomach hurts, and I just offer them things that I've done that have helped me. So whether that's essential oils, or I also use homeopathics, and like, hey, this has worked for me. Take it or leave it. It's not medical advice. All I want to do is help people. That's why I went into science in the first place, is to help people. And then I realized that one, the science that I was doing was harming people, and I couldn't do that. And I also heard, I forget what podcast it was on, but somebody was talking about how they basically use academia to get around the Geneva Convention. Because the Geneva Convention prohibits the research of biological warfare and biological weapons.
Right.
Well,
I hope he doesn't care about that.
Well, so in grad school.
Yeah, didn't you research this?
In grad school, I was, we were working on a vaccine for a specific strain of this bacteria. And it wasn't the one found in nature that's called your wild type. And I remember asking my thesis professor, why are we working with this very specialized strain to develop the vaccine? Wouldn't the vaccine only work against that specific strain? And he said, yes. And I said, well, and you're saying that you're worried like the Russians or somebody are going to use this bacteria against us. So how do we know that that's the strain they would use? Well, we don't. So how do we know that our vaccine would work on that strain? Well, we don't.
Science.
Science, right? Science. So I was like, And at the time, it bothered me, but like I didn't allow it to bother me enough, I guess. But they basically said how academia, that's how they get around the Geneva Convention. And I then realized I couldn't be party to participating in promoting biological warfare, which is another reason I left science.
Didn't he try to say something too, like, oh, well, it might work a little bit, or
yeah, it might work a little bit. We don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, it might have some efficacy, but we're not 100% sure. It's crazy because they can just say whatever, and you're just supposed to be indoctrinated enough to believe it and be like, oh, okay, yep, that's completely true, instead of free thinking. And yeah.
And it just, like I said earlier, it boggles my mind how in science you're like, yes, you're supposed to research and you're supposed to question and things like that. But if you actually do it, you're totally attacked. If you really believed in your science and in your theories and in your experiments, you should want to serve them up and then basically tell people, go poke holes in this. I want you to prove me wrong. That's what you should want to do as a scientist.
That's the basis of science.
That's what you did at the hospital, though. You were like, come talk to me. They're like, I'm going to get my manager. And you're like, bring it, bitch, because I will ask the questions that need to be asked. And I am not worried about it. I'm not concerned. And that's what every scientist should do. They should be asking those questions. Like, hey, you know, whatever questions you, I don't know anything about air tests, but like everything you ask the right questions, but people aren't asking those things. They're not really challenging anything. It's almost like they're making it, well, it's not almost, they're definitely making it so that it's too scary to ask the questions. You're just supposed to go along with it because that's the right way to do things.
Which is so bizarre because the whole question science thing, you know what they used to call questioning science? Science.
Right.
That is science, is questioning science. Why? How do you think we've got as far as we have in Western medicine, like we were talking about earlier? The reason that things like open heart surgery work is because people had questions, and they questioned those questions, and then they came to understand, oh, if you do this with this, this works, and it works like some percentage of the time or whatever.
That's like what a hypothesis is and theories, and that's why doctors practice medicine, because they don't ever nail it down. It's constantly changing and
evolving. Why they call it a practice.
Right. Yeah.
They're practicing.
My arm surgeries were a form of an experiment because they had previously been done on legs. It was like, it's called the Izrilarov device. It's Russian. And it was developed in Russia and used on people who had leg problems when they were, like, maybe they were shot during war. And so it was used to re-lengthen out the legs. My doctor went to Russia to learn it and then was applying it to kids' arms like me. So I was technically an experiment. And then, two, most adults who are, like, maybe 50 or so who have congenital heart disease weren't living because open heart surgery to fix them didn't exist. Or at least it didn't work very well. So I'm also an experiment right now because they're like, oh, you're still alive and you haven't needed any other surgeries. And like, I'm data to them.
And we all are.
Well, but like, and if it's going to save another kid down the line, like, fine, like, whatever. But my point is that I know that they're still learning because I'm part of that learning process.
Right. And if they lose you along the way, that would be, and not to make it dark, but if they lose you along the way, they'll be like, that didn't work. And we might help another kid some way.
Right.
So that's kind of daunting as well.
Statistics.
I mean, it's beautiful and daunting at the same time, I guess.
Yeah.
That's fuck. I mean, what else do you say to all this shit? Like, we always say we're preaching to the choir here in our community, but I mean, you have to hear things like this from an actual expert, an actual scientist who sees things the way we're seeing it, and it might be confirmation bias, sure, whatever, but when did this start? When did coming to the crystal side, like, this wasn't that long ago, right?
No, it was like, April 2021, but
that's when I left. So the crystals and stuff was like the end of 2019, But up until like the beginning of 2020, even then I was like, no, vaccines are good. And now I'm like, I'm never getting, and this was before they even rolled out all the mRNA stuff. But I had actually come across an account on Instagram, which surprise, surprise, got banned, but they have their own website now. It's called justtheinserts.com. And all they were doing was just posting inserts from the FDA or like the, you know, that little folded up piece of paper you get when you get a prescription that nobody ever reads because they're like, what the frick is this? And you just throw it away. That's an insert and nobody reads it. So they had an Instagram account and I started reading it. And she had started it because I guess her friend was trying to like warn her about vaccines and she wanted to prove her friend wrong. Well, it turned out she couldn't. And so all the posts were super factual. They had no opinion on them. It was just kind of, hey, did you know this? This is confirmation bias. This is what a logical fallacy is. And it just taught you how they're actually doing science, science with a dollar sign.
Yeah.
And it opened my eyes and I was like, holy shit. And I started reading and I was like, I've been brainwashed. I've been indoctrinated. I wasn't doing science. That's not what I was doing. And I started reading about the ingredients in them. And I used to think that, you know, the whole vaccine autism link was a bunch of bullshit. Then I started reading the ingredients and how aluminum can cross the blood-brain barrier and all the things that they have to put in the vaccine to actually stimulate an immune response and why that's actually a bad thing. And how measles was actually protective. So getting rid of measles was actually bad. And I'm like, my mind was like, what did I go to school for? It was all bullshit. It was all bullshit.
So you dove headfirst into your first rabbit hole and then just tunneled around from there, it sounds like.
Oh my gosh. Oh my, I was like, I wasted $200,000 in student loans. What did I do with my life?
Don't worry, they might get forgiven someday. I'm actually hanging on to that as well because I have a ton of student loan debt. And I'm just hoping that we either go into the Mad Max world or that they all get forgiven because everything's going to be on Bitcoin and no one's going to give a shit about student loans.
I would far prefer the Mad Max world because then you could wear those sweet get-ups.
Well, just living in the woods. They'd be like, your student loan debt's forgiven. They won't actually say it's forgiven. It just won't matter.
Yeah. Listen. Joe promised. He better keep his promise. He promised.
Yeah, he's only forgiving it for, they do the public sector workers after 10 years and like teachers and anyone who works for the government for now. And that's it.
Disclaimer, this is not an incitement of violence, fact checkers, but we need to overthrow the government. That's like
100%.
I didn't say violence. I just said overthrow. Overthrow he's by waiting. Hanging down from the neck.
Overthrow.
Thank you.
Well, more good people have to get involved in local politics and care about it. Or we can just make our own little communities and not give a shit about politics altogether. I mean, however you want to do it, that's fine.
And then it turns into the Bundy Ranch situation. It's all bad.
I don't think so. I think if we're positive, like-minded individuals, I think it would be okay. And I think a lot of those people are coming out of the woodworks now and coming together. I am seeing a little positivity.
They definitely
are.
Even scientists are. Look at that.
Yeah. But there is some weird movement. The whole COVID thing, I'm going to sound weird right now, but I don't necessarily think it's the worst thing in the world. So yeah, some people are going to have some backlash from it if they got the vaccine or if they, maybe not. I hope it doesn't kill people because my entire family is vaccinated. So I hope that it's A-okay. I don't want it to kill anybody, but there are so many people who finally realized like, oh, I think some weird shit's going on. And there's this whole community that's come together and that's so positive. And it's such a negative effect of this whole narrative that they've been trying to lay out. And it's very much thrown a wrench in the gears of what they're trying to do. And we're just like a thorn in their side at this point. But we are all so strong and so powerful because things are changing now. Like you can see the narrative rewinding itself in the media every day. They're like, oh, just kidding. We're dialing back on the masks and that's not effective anymore. We don't need to do that. Nevada, Las Vegas just got rid of it.
It makes me kind of scared for what the fuck is next. But Ben, I'm going to beat you to the punch. I know you got to go. Okay. I know you're about to get out of here, right?
I do have to go.
Okay, because I was going to close with another question to Ellie, but you can go.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I mean, if you got one more question, that's fine. I'll stay till the end.
Okay, no, I just wanted to know your opinion on, because we do lean conspiratorial from time to time, and even everything we've talked about is basically conspiracy theory now, which is insane to me, but what do you think about the actual, what they're calling a vaccine, which is not a vaccine, it's gene therapy, in my opinion. What do you think about it, and as far as the theories about graphene and mRNA and, like, altering your DNA, like, as a, I know that might not be your specialty, but just in your professional opinion, what do you think about all that?
So, it's definitely suspect. I've heard things that, hey, there is graphene oxide in there. Hey, there isn't graphene oxide in there. There's, some of them were saying that part of the mRNA vaccine has, like, genes of HIV, and that's why HIV is on the rise. And, like, all I know is that the previous studies that were done on mRNA vaccines killed all the monkeys when they were exposed to the wild virus, or maybe it was ferrets. Anyway, killed all the animals. That's what matters. And it was never successfully done. And now all of a sudden, we're just going to keep rolling them out. And we've literally never had this type of injection before. And so to claim that it doesn't cause fertility problems, or it doesn't cause cancer, or it doesn't cause any of that, you literally can't make that claim because you don't know. These haven't even been around for 2 years. How do you know that if you inject a 5-year-old, that they're going to be able to give birth when they're 25? You don't know. And I feel like it's not a, it shouldn't be a controversial statement.
Right.
But somehow it is. I think there's definitely some shady shit going on. How quickly they rolled it out. That's not how science works. At all. It takes a really long time to figure things out. And the fact that, what, 3 different companies all of a sudden had mRNA vaccines like that? Yeah, they did.
Do you think that it really was rushed, or do you think they were working on it for a long time? This is another conspiracy question, but do you think they had this planned out, like kind of how you were working on that bacterial
bioweapon?
Yeah, back in the day. Do you think they maybe gave them the strain and were like, all right, work on this shit, because we're going to pretend that we have never heard of it in like 10 years, and we want this to be okay?
I don't know if it's necessarily they gave him a specific strain, but I think there was definitely money to quickly make an mRNA vaccine, because if it is actually made the way that they claim, it would be fairly easy to rush, but they would have already needed to perfect the mRNA vaccine, like the core process, before you start putting all the special, you know, because now apparently they can do it for flu and cancer and all this other bullshit. So you'd have had to have that core platform already know how to do that. So I feel like that was already in the works, but I never heard about it. Like, no one was ever talking about that. That doesn't mean to say that I know everything that was going on in science. But for something that was that revolutionary, I'm surprised I didn't come across it at all.
Well, it's interesting too that Moderna never had anything get FDA approval for a fucking decade. And the first one that gets apparently approved, which, you know, was EUA, that's their first one, and it's emergency use. That's suspect in itself. So I'm glad you take that approach too, because that's our approach. It's middle of the road. It's at the very least, these things are suspect. So why would they be mandated? Right. Like, let me choose myself. Yeah. Like, not even being conspiracy, but like I said, even what I'm saying is being conspiratorial by saying they're suspect. You're supposed to just say they're all good and they're good for
you. People are bragging online about getting the Moderna vaccine without knowing anything about the company or anything about anything they've put out. They're just like, I got my Moderna shot. And then they get like 100 likes from like-minded people in their circle NPCs. That are so proud of them.
I like China.
Yeah, they all like China.
Well, they claimed, oh, I did my research. Really? What research did you do?
CNN, MSNBC. That kind of research.
And these are the people you can't really argue with. We talked about that with Sam Tripoli, I think. You just can't fucking argue with these people. Their logic has left the building. You can show them a million things, and it's just no.
But they've set them up with everything, not to, like, go back and forth with this weird shit, but they set them up with all of the talking points. You can just say, trust the science. What, you don't like science? And they give them all of these dumb things they can pull out of their back pocket and just throw out there whether they believe in it or not. They haven't done any research. They just have talking points from CNN.
But that's but that's why they hate me. That's literally why they hate me. Because they'll be like, oh, well, trust the science. I'll be like, well, I have 2 degrees. What do you have? Oh, well, okay. And I actually did research on respiratory diseases. What do you have? And it becomes like this. And then they get mad and they're like, well, you're just a racist, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
racist card over everything.
Yeah.
It's always the go-to.
It's always the go-to thing. I'm a racist conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're a QAnon believing Trump supporter. We've been called that, too. And I'm like, we've never, ever researched any of that shit. And we definitely didn't vote for Trump either because politicians are all corrupt. Like, come on.
That's the thing that blows my mind. I didn't vote for Trump because I always vote middle of the road. And he was one end of the extreme bird wing that is part of the bird. And then you get called QAnon. And I'm like, I didn't even know what the fuck that was till we started our podcast. Right. And then I started hearing about it. I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. That's a weird phenomenon. And then it fell apart like most other things. I'm like, why am I getting lumped in with these people? I don't get it. But yeah. You get the trolls out there and they like to say all these things. But Ben, I know you got to go to bed. Ellie, thank you for joining us.
Stick around, Ellie. We'll say bye after.
Yes, we will have words after the show.
Okay.
Hang on. I have to set up my buttons. I don't know where I'm doing. Anyway, where can we find you? I've been putting the ticker on the bottom of the screen the whole time, but where can we find you for the audio listeners?
Probably the easiest thing is campsite.bio/onethumbl. You have to spell out O-N-E. And that has like my YouTube on there, my Instagram, my Etsy page, Mighty Networks, and join me on doTERRA. So if you're ever curious about essential oils and you thought that they were either woo-woo bullshit or they totally didn't work, I totally disagree, and I can explain to you from a science standpoint how they work.
Fucking awesome. Maybe that'll be part two, because I do want to talk about essential oils more, because they worked recently on my son's earache, and placebo or not, it fucking worked. So.
And it got my sense of smell back. Ellie actually helped me with when I lost my sense of taste and smell for about a week and a half. Randomly. Weird. But it was very random because I had no other symptoms. And you told me what to do, where you just smell the essential oil and then imagine what it smells like. And I got my sense of smell and taste back in a day.
It was the Rona. You know, it was.
I don't know. I didn't test for it because I know that's bullshit.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Ellie. Ben, thanks for sticking around past your bedtime. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks, Ben. Have a good sleep. Have a good day at work tomorrow.
Thanks for everybody listening, and use your fucking turn signals. God damn it.